Okay.
Here we are back, and time for our nightly coronavirus report with Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, and all of you folks who hang in here each night to try and get a handle on this from a professional in the field, a real scientist. Here are some headlines, as we've been saying. Wow. Donald doesn't seem to understand the severity of the pandemic. And we know he's insulated. We know he's getting advice. But I can't even imagine how dumb the people are who are advising him, if he's getting this or if he's just going off on his own. I don't have the answer. We'll probably never really know. So Donald Trump doesn't still get the idea of how severe this is. He's also rather clueless when he praises various states. He praised Arizona as a model for pandemic protocols as cases and deaths remain very high. And then he said, children are almost immune. That's a quote, almost immune from coronavirus. Well, tell that to the family of the little six-year-old girl who died of it today. That's why he's pushing for schools to reopen, because he believes that children are immune. He also said that there's no question that the coronavirus will, this is a quote, will go away. Just go away. Gone. And he's said the same thing a number of times before. Teachers are facing what they quite clearly and correctly believe is a potential life and death decision. Do they quit their jobs or do they go back to the classroom and teach? And obviously, they're going to have major pandemic issues in the classrooms. They're already seeing it. So what do they do? Well, a lot of them are actually making out their last will and testament before they go back to work. A Georgia second grader has tested positive for coronavirus after attending the first day of school. There you go. L.A. coronavirus cases among 18 to 29-year-olds has gone up 400% just since June. And this girl who died, the six-year-old girl, was from, I didn't mention, from the state of Tennessee. Trump claims lockdowns do not, quote, do not prevent infection in the future, end quote. I'm not sure what he means by that, but that's what he said. And then he went on to undermine Fauci's push to reconsider shutdowns, lockdowns in certain states. Okay, well, let's get right to Dr. Henry Nyman. Welcome back, Henry. Let's see what's on your plate. Lots happening, as always. It's just nonstop.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be back. And yeah, what you described on the Trump side is kind of a parallel universe. I mean, he is out of touch with reality, and he's frankly trying to use the pandemic as a campaign issue. That he's doing his briefings on a daily basis. No scientists are there. He just goes up there and cherry picks the data, and has no check on it. Makes outright falsehoods. He basically is lying. He knows they're false. He just stands up there and lies. It's so bad, his thing about the children being immune got pulled from Twitter as being false, misleading on the pandemic. Well,
I don't know what the hell's going on in his head.
That's
bizarre.
He's cherry picking the data, misrepresenting it, and using it to show how well he's doing. As you said, he chose Arizona. He talked about Arizona and how, you know, the numbers are going down and they reduced so much. And he went and he pumped $18 billion into the state to help them along. And they went and they're managing it properly. Arizona was number one in the country with the percent positives. They were so bad that they had to ship their patients out of state because all of their ICUs were full. They had to get refrigerated trucks because their morgues were full. And it's not like it's gone away. It's gone down somewhat. But there's still, what was it today? I think it was 1,700 or something along those lines, new cases. And still, 1,698 cases today, and they had 87 deaths. So their deaths are still up there. They're hovering around 100 per day. They're a little bit lower than the top three, but the population's lower. And it's going to explode because they got orders that all the schools have to be open for in-place learning by, I don't know, sometime this month. I think it's in like 2 weeks or so. So in 2 weeks, all the schools have to be open, and they all have to offer in-class teaching. And I'm not sure if they're supposed to, I don't know if they went that far that they can only do in-class, but I think they all have to offer in-class. And right. Even with it going down, 1,700 cases a day and almost 100 deaths a day is not under control. The virus is everywhere, and then they're going to go and open up the schools. And there's all these clues that the schools are already a disaster. I mean, today, Chicago said that they are not opening up their schools. They're starting the season, the fall session with remote classes, 100% remote. Nobody's going to class in Chicago. And as you recall, Chicago was one of the cities that had the outbreak in the spring, and their numbers went up, and then they got it under control. And now their numbers are going up again. Today, they are similar to Arizona. They reported 1,759 cases, and they had 28 deaths. I mean, they haven't caught up to them yet on the deaths, like I said, the death trail. But they'll be heading in that direction in the upcoming weeks. And by the time it's time to start the season, they're going to have deaths that are getting close to 50 to 100 deaths a day, and the numbers are exploding. And I read off the list of all the states that had at least 500 cases, and I kind of mentioned how many were having at least 25 deaths. That's per day for yesterday. And today's numbers were similar. There were over 50,000 new cases and over 1,200 new deaths. But number one, there's a problem with reporting the data in California. And there's a problem with doing the tests in Florida. So testing is actually down. So these numbers that are being announced, oh, they're going down, the percent positives going down, the death rate starting to go down, it's the testing that's going down. So with the testing going down, they're getting fewer confirmed cases. They're following Trump's formula. And, I'm not sure what's going on with California. They can't even seem to get the data updated. I mean, normally by now, they've updated at least through 7 o'clock local time. They're only up to 3:47 local time. They're showing 100 deaths today. Yesterday, it got over 200. So they've only got half the deaths reported so far. And yesterday, they reported 6,200 cases. They only have 3,600 so far today. So they can't get the data reported when they have the data, and B, they can't get the data. They're having trouble transmitting it, and they're having trouble. One of the counties they're having trouble is L.A. County, and L.A. County has the highest number of cases and has the highest frequency of detection. So if they don't have L.A. County, their numbers are going to be lower, and the percent positives are going to be lower. And they're actually showing that it dropped from 7% to 6%. But it hasn't really fallen at all. They just haven't recorded the data from L.A., which is significantly above 7%. So they pull that out, and the percent goes down because they're not reporting the county with the highest percent. Same thing's happening in Florida. Florida went, and it's been like 7 days or so since they've been testing in some of the southern counties, because those were the first counties that were going to be hit by the hurricane. And then on top of that, they have a delay in getting the test results. So these big drops they're talking about in Florida are drops in testing. It's not that they say, oh, their percent positive got below 10%.
Yes, of course. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And the reason it's below 10% is the southern counties like Miami-Dade and Broward.
Right.
Those are the ones with the highest percentage, and they're not testing. So they pull those out of the mix.
Totally.
And they're left with the counties that have a lower frequency. So the frequency for the whole state goes down because there's a big hole in the data. There's no testing going on there. And with the upcoming hurricane season and projections for a lot more activity this year at an early start to activity, they're probably going to be running into this for the next couple of months. So they're going to keep on reporting lower numbers because they say, oh, we had to take down the 10th that we couldn't test. And, we'll get going again as soon as the hurricane passes. And so the numbers are going to be difficult to interpret. I don't know what's going on in California where they're just getting overwhelmed because they're getting so many, but they're having transmission issues and they aren't able to get the data in LA County to transmit to putting all the numbers together. And so the fact that there's 50,000 instead of 60,000 is probably that's almost all due to an absence of testing in either California or Florida, which are two of the states that are the biggest states. And they've been bouncing around in Texas, too. I'm not sure what's going on there. But but I wouldn't be surprised if they're having issues with getting the data together also. And so these states that were reporting over 10,000 cases a day are now in the neighborhood of 7,000 to 9,000 cases a day. Sometimes they get down to 5,000 because they're not testing. So they're only getting half the number of cases reported, but there aren't big changes in the number of cases that are really showing up at the hospitals or dying. Those numbers are going up. I mean, they got above 200 again today. So the numbers are being skewed by testing. And then Trump's going out there and saying how great things are going. I mean, he went on TV in the morning and he said, the children are immune. The virus is going to just go away. You know, it's kind of a little bit of a wink and a nod now because he doesn't say when. and he had said a couple of weeks ago that he said it was going to go away, and he'll be right. One day he'll be right. He doesn't know when, but one day he'll be right. So the reporter asked today, he said the virus is going away again. He said, well, when is it going away? Well, I don't really know when it's going away, but it'll be sooner rather than later. So those are his time estimates, and they're all based on a faulty premise, and that's And that's because he doesn't know the difference between a pandemic and an epidemic. So he figures that it went away with SARS. So this is a SARS-like virus. So it's going to go away with SARS-CoV-2 or COVID. And it isn't. It's a pandemic. It's all over the place. I mean, I remember with SARS, when they had Amoy Gardens, that was a really big deal.
Oh, I remember
it
was
an
that,
apartment
yeah,
complex. Yeah, and there were 300 cases there. In the U.S., we get 300 cases every day in Alaska. You know, 300 cases is nothing. You know, we get 60,000 cases in a day. 300 cases because there was an apartment complex that they got over a 1 or 2 week period is, you know, 30 cases a day. You can get 30 cases a day almost anywhere in the U.S. You know, that's an exceedingly low number if you report 30 new cases for the day. I mean, Hawaii's up to a couple hundred cases today. Montana was 115 cases today. North Dakota was 124 today. West Virginia was the last case to report any cases, to report their first case, I should say, reported 108 cases today. So the numbers are reflective of a pandemic, and it's a pandemic because the virus transmits easily. And when the virus is in the population and it transmits easily, and it's a pandemic because it's in every continent in the world and it's in every country in the world, that's nothing that's going to go away. There's no reason for it to go away. It's having a great time. It's moving along. It's not even clear that there's any herd immunity building up. It's not even clear the people
and
that are affected
really happy.
Ones aren't getting it.
The antibodies are gone in 90 days. It's the virus
right.
Couldn't be happier.
And the assays are not in place. Trump said something about 50% point of care assays. I don't know where he's come up with that. I think the point of care assays, where you know, you can get a result in 30 minutes, is something like 5% of the testing. The vast majority of the testing is done with nasopharyngeal swabs, and there's some that don't have to go as deep as other ones, but it's still taking a swab. It's going into the nose. It's putting in a test tube with transport fluid, and it's submitted to a lab. And if the lab's a national lab, like LabCorp the other big one, but Quest.
Quest.
It takes 7 to 10 to 15 days to get the results, and you can't really do anything with those types of results. But the stories that are coming out from the schools are very discouraging. There was a one you mentioned where first day of class they had a student that was positive, but the rest of that story is because that student was positive, then the teacher in that class has to go into quarantine, and the entire class has to go into quarantine. So those students, the one positive student leads to one entire class in quarantine. So they're not going to be going to class. That's going to be disruptive for the whatever 20 or 25 family members who have their kids in that class. That teacher is not going to be able to teach for another 14 days or so. And if they're going to enforce it with quarantines like that, it's going to be very disruptive. Actually, it's already so disruptive that now they're starting to fudge, or at least there are allegations that they're changing reports and they're not reporting positives. And there was a story on that for Florida State football team. They had something like 11 or 14 or something of the players have already tested as positive. And so the coaching staff was telling the players not to report positives. And there were even allegations that they were taking those that were positive and changing the result on the form to report the results. Because if they kept on going at the rate they're going, they weren't going to have a team. The entire team was going to be out of commission. And in reality, if there's 14 players on the team that are positive, the entire team is already supposed to be out of commission because they're supposed to be in quarantine. So if you've got 14 people on the team, the entire team has been exposed to the virus, and they're not supposed to be continuing their practice and scrimmages and getting ready for the start of the season. They're supposed to be at home until they get a negative, until they have no symptoms and they have a negative test, or if they don't have any symptoms, they're still supposed to stay home for 10 to 14 days, depending upon what number they're using. And so that would knock out an entire team. And if they don't do that, then it's going to spread to the entire team. So it's either they're either quarantined or they're infected. And when they get infected, it's a rolling infection. It's kind of like, well, the first wave they got infected and they're not practicing, but everybody else is going to go ahead and practice anyway. And some of those people that are practicing anyway have already been infected because they were contacts of the people that were confirmed, and then they'll infect more people on the team, and eventually the whole team's going to get infected. And that's going to go throughout all of these football teams, college, high school, pro. They're not going to be playing football in the fall. It's absurd. And what's even more absurd is that these schools aren't ready. They don't have the right ventilation to handle a lot of virus in the school, mask or no mask. And even mask and no mask, there are reports the schools are opening up and masks are optional. So if you're going to go and tell these students, you don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to, well, they're not going to, so-and-so is not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. They got pictures of them. But with 50, 100 kids in the pictures, all cheek-to-cheek, smiling for the camera, with zero masks. I mean, some of them aren't wearing masks. None of them are wearing masks. And these are school pictures. So
which state is this in, Henry, again, please?
I've got to look that one up. I don't remember. I think it was in the South. They've already started classes. It was in the South. I'll dig it out. But I remember seeing the picture. Right. They put the pictures up, and they asked the doctors, what do you think of this? Oh, no, they're not supposed to be doing that. Doing that at school is not a good idea. And, I mean, they got photographic evidence. They took the picture. It's got everybody standing there smiling. They're all looking at the camera. They literally have their faces within inches of each other. And there are zero masks. So this is going to be a disaster. In places like Arizona's going to start school in a couple of weeks, and they're going to force everybody to go to class, and they're going to even with masks with all
will
those
and
kids.
Testament.
Yeah, the virus is going to start spreading, and then it's going to go back to their homes. It's not just going to be in the school, and even if the students deal with it, number one, the ones that seem to deal with it the best, were those that were 10 and under. That's not going to cover the middle schools or the high schools or the colleges. And even the data for the younger ones, as far as being infected, that was mostly done early on with the original strain. It wasn't the Italian strain, which is much more infectious anyway. And it's just, I mean, you're going to have the upcoming holiday, and that's going to be round one of a new wave of spreading. And then you're going to have the start of school. And the school is going to be just like swine flu. That's exactly what happened with swine flu. You could see it. The school started in early August in the South, and then all of those schools started reporting outbreaks. And the schools hadn't even opened in the northern states yet. And it's already starting to happen. You got the sports teams are already showing up. The students that had it here in Pittsburgh, they're starting to roll in. They haven't started classes yet, but they're going to the dorms and the student housing, and they're moving in and they're getting set up. And they're going to be infected before the first day of class. So the first day of class, if they start doing any type of screening, which, you know, was my boots on the ground here, the, you know, big sign, fever check-in at the artificial turf field. And, you know, 11 days later, all of a sudden, there was a big explosion in cases. There were 30 positives for the surrounding areas that feed into that one high school. And the same thing happened throughout all of the northern suburbs and in Pittsburgh, all on the same day. They were all hopping up 10, 15, 20 positives in a given neighborhood. And they were all on the same day, and they were all like, you know, 10, 11 days after the start of practice. And that's going to increase. They've already moved the start of the fall sports back 2 or 3 weeks. You know, they were supposed to start in August, late August. Now they moved it to September. And the school boards know these results. They know that they went and they tried to start, and they went and did fever checks, and they got the results, and they found out that they had X number of students positive on the first day of practice. I mean, they're still a couple of weeks away from starting school. And these schools in the South, where they have these high levels, it's just going to be a disaster to start school with that much of virus floating around. And it's the same thing. I mean, that's what happened in Chicago. The Chicago announcement was today that all of the public schools in Chicago are going to start virtual. They are not going to start with any classes. Not that they're doing a hybrid and it's 50-50 or whatever. You know, if you want to go to class, you can go to class. If you want to take it online, you can take it online. Nobody's going to class because they've got, you know, 1,700 positives today in the city. And, you know, that testing is just a fraction of the actual number of cases that are floating around. So you've literally got thousands of cases that are showing up every day. And then you're going to take, you know, a subset of those and put them in a school setting. And you know, just like the kids that are taking pictures with no mask, they're going to start, oh, we're back in school. You know, there's going to be a party at so-and-so's house this weekend. Yeah, and the kids are going to go to parties. I'll figure they're at home. There's nobody looking. They don't have to worry about masks. And then, you know, they'll show up in school, and 5 days later, there'll be this big outbreak in the schools because they got another wave of students that are positive. And by the time they identify those students, they'll have already transmitted it to other students. So the school is, you know, basically just going to be a disaster. And Trump is there, you know, saying, just start schools, you know, start it up. You know, the fact that they don't really have testing that has a quick turnaround so that they can kind of try to manage the schools and figure out who's infected before they infect too many others and try to do the quarantines. But, you know, fast tests or not, it's not going
to
work.
I just think they should have just given hydroxy to every kid at school, and we have no problems now. No problems at all. Right?
Yeah, right. Right. Well, Fauci came out today, I think, and said that, you know, the numbers are too high. There's way too much virus going around. It's spreading. It's going into the rural areas. It's going to the Midwest. And school's getting ready to start. And he said that, you know, the only way they're going to be able to deal with the fall, when, you know, as we mentioned, you got flu starting up again, you got more people inside, so it's easier to transmit. Of course, if they're in school, then that's another focal point for spreading. So he says that the number of positives has to be down to 10,000 a day. And you got to get it down to 10,000 a day. And it hasn't been down to 10,000 a day since, I don't know, late March or something, or early April. I mean, it never got down to 10%. When the lockdown was there, the numbers only got down to 20% before they started easing. Not 20%, 20,000. And they started easing, and the numbers started going back up again. So now it's in the neighborhood of, even with the limited testing or the reduction in testing, it's still 50,000 cases. So there's 50,000 cases. If they got their act together and got the testing done, it would be 60, 65,000 cases. And he thinks it should be a 10,000. And there's no plan to get it to 10,000. There's no mechanism to get it to 10,000. The numbers are going to go up. They're not going to go down, and they're going to go up because some of the schools are going to try to do classes. And, you know, a lot of them, they're going to offer this hybrid model that the parents or / students can choose, you know, what they want to start the year off with. And Florida already knows that that's going to be a total bust. And so they're starting classes early, but they're doing it all online. So 100% are starting online by saying that, you know, we're going to do this for 10 days or so that everybody's familiarized with how you get online and how you take the classes, and they're ready. And then those that opted to have in class will start class 10 days later. But if they run into problems, they'll be able to transition because they'll already have taken the other one. And, you know, 10 days after they do the online one, they'll have enough problems that the in class will last maybe 2 or 3 weeks at tops. You know, a lot of them will probably change their mind and say, well, the online wasn't that bad, and the level of virus is too high. I mean, Trump's already canceled. He's talking about accepting the nomination at the White House now. That's basically illegal. I mean, you're not supposed to use, you're not supposed to mix government function with politics, and so you're not supposed to use any of the facilities that you use for politics, like the White House or the Senate or the House, for campaigns. That's supposed to be separate. The campaigns is the party's function, and that's their expense, and they have to rent their convention center, wherever they're going to have their event, and that's all private. That's not supposed to be done with government offices and under the auspices of government functions. That's supposed to be totally separate. So Trump is saying, oh, it'd be a lot cheaper if we just used the White House. You know, there's already Secret Service there. We wouldn't have, we'd save money. So he wants to use the White House to save money to basically do his acceptance of the Republican nomination. And so Trump's not going to Jacksonville. Trump's not going to Charlotte. He's not going anywhere. He wants to not only stay in Washington, he wants to have the acceptance at the White House. And you know, I don't think that's going to apply. There's already some opposition. And Biden's not going anywhere. He's not going to Milwaukee. Pull back from that. He's going to, you know, accept the
nomination.
Biden's
not going to be doing much of anything. No.
No, he's going to accept his in Delaware. And nobody's going to Milwaukee. So it's crazy to go to Milwaukee and go anywhere, to go and to bring a whole bunch of people together and have them screaming and yelling and spreading virus and creating, you know, another toxic waste dump that, you know, kind of like Tulsa. And already got Herman Cain's already dead from that one. And who knows how many others are infected and have died and just kind of faded away because it happened 3 or 4 weeks after the fact.
In Ohio, 100 people infected by one man who attended church. That's the word.
Yeah. Well, that's what's next. That's been the problem with church services is that you end up, I've already seen earlier ones where they say, well, you know, we're going to give out masks, but it's optional. And so people don't want to wear the mask when they're in church and going to be singing. And you know, so they end up, everybody just holds on to the mask if they actually took one, and they are singing and spreading the virus, and they're in fairly close quarters. And you get one person that's infected, and they go in there and infect, you know, large numbers. It's super, they call them super spreader events now because it's usually more than one person being infected. Mm-hmm. It's one person being infected in an environment that he can infect literally dozens or hundreds of others. And in that type of environment, that's what ends up happening. I mean, it's the same thing with the bars where they have a birthday party and there's 25 people there and in the birthday party, and all 25 end up getting infected because the bartenders were infected. And there's close quarters, and they're all, you know, singing songs and getting drunk, and then 3 days later, they all have symptoms, or 4 or 5 days later, whatever it is, that they all end up getting infected. They get like 100% penetrance of the virus. And so that's what's basically coming up. It's like, let's see if we can get the schools to work. And it's just going to be a total disaster because it's not just going to be the schools. The schools are going to be the vector. They're going to go there.
Henry, do we know what Europe's schools are doing? What are they doing over there? Do we know? They've got things under control, but what are they doing about schools?
Right. I think they're mostly doing schools. They're planning schools, and they're planning on you know, having testing and people wearing masks and trying to reduce the school size. I mean, they're doing what you're supposed to do, but they're doing it in a setting where they have a limited number. I mean, they're talking in Hong Kong. They're concerned because they've got, you know, 100 positives in a day or 150 positives in a day. And they think that's, you know, a new wave and a whole big deal. And they're trying to trace everybody and quarantine all the contacts. So that's a manageable number. You know, they'll do a lot of testing for that number and get it under control. And then they'll do the same thing with the schools. They'll have fever checks. You know, I think there's some talk that they might try to do smell tests. Because, you know, that's one of the...
Sure. Yeah, it knows if you can still smell.
And one of the earlier ones, right. So they'll take something like, you know, alcohol or something that's got a strong odor. They'll say, you know... How about an apple pie,
Henry? Something nice.
What's this liquid? Well, it's got to be something that they...
a nice, warm
strong
apple
enough
pie.
That they can
Cherry
identify.
Pie. All right.
Yeah, but I think the idea is you got a clear liquid, and it's, what does it smell like?
Understood.
It could be bleach, it could be alcohol, it could be whatever.
Right. It could be hydroxychloroquine. You never know.
Right, right. But the point is, if it looks the same and you don't know what it is, the question won't be do you smell it? It says, what does it smell like?
Sure.
So that at least you gotta come up with the right smell to prove that you really can't smell it. Instead of, well, I don't know, it kind of smells like such a, if you got a big pie sitting there, yeah. Well, it's a cherry pie or apple pie, you know, and a glass of some clear liquid is something easier to handle. Anyway, there's talk of doing that. I don't know if that's been implemented or not, but I heard that was as a second option because everybody doesn't have a fever. And so, you know, if you go into the first day of class, you got a fever, that's an indication you got something. And, but if you don't have a fever, that's not necessarily an indication that you don't have anything. And so I think that the schools are pretty much, you know, going to be, in play in Europe, but I don't know what the ratio is. My guess is that they're going to offer, you know, virtual classes at the same time. It'll be a dual track type of a thing because as far as controlling the virus is concerned, and as far as reducing the density in the schools, I mean that's the other. You know, technique is if, you know, there's only 10 or 15 students in a classroom, then the desks can be spread out so they're not sitting that close together. And there's a little bit of distancing there as opposed to if they have 30 desks and there's 30 students there, it's hard to spread them out. So there's a distinct advantage if you've got some of the kids are not in class. And so there are all these elaborate plans in the U.S. The problem is that the density of the virus is in many, if not most now, of the places is just too high. So it's not like you're going to open up school and there's going to be one kid that's positive. You're going to open up school and there's going to be 15 kids that are positive. And if you've got 15 kids positive, and some of those are going to be a positive a few days after the first day, so they'll be there, and people will have exposure to them before they're identified. Then you run into this whole quarantine issue because you've got a kid in the class, and there's 15 or 20 kids in the class, and they should all end up being quarantined whether he's in 10 day or 15 day, they're going to, from the get go, they're going to miss the first 10 or 15 days. And the teacher's not going to be teaching for that time period. And at a minimum, it's going to be disruptive, but at a maximum, they're not going to get everybody quarantined. And, you know, the kid that was positive, you know, had exposure in class, but they might have had exposure, you know, walking into school. from whatever. I don't know if they're doing buses. If they're doing buses, that would be another, an area for transmission. They may be encouraging parents to drive their kids to school if they're, middle school or elementary school. And try to limit that. But I'm not sure that they will. That it'll be 100%. They'll encourage that, but they'll still have kids on the bus. They'll still have bus service for those that don't have the transportation. And you still have to worry about, not whether the kid in your class has got the virus, but the kid who's sitting on the bus has the virus, or the kid that you walked in the front door next to has the virus. And so it's just very hard. When you're going to take a lot of people, you're going to put them into a fairly concentrated area, even if it's not as concentrated as it would normally be. But I've seen these pictures of the kids in the hall, and, the hall's full. I mean, they're shoulder to shoulder.
Well, your schools in your neighborhood are going to do the same thing, right? They're going to try to open.
They're going to try to open, but they offer, the choice that they will have online.
And, we're expecting, Henry's boots on the ground. I want to see you over there at that school.
They're already doing the physicals. I mentioned this before, and I actually saw a sign today, so I'm sure that's what it was. A couple, I think it was the beginning of the week. They had the kids lining up at the entrance to the athletic portion of the high school, the athletic entrance, and they all had masks, but they certainly weren't 6 feet apart. They were maybe 2 feet apart. So they were relatively close there. And that's walking in the door. Not even the first day of class is pretty. But they are they are planning. But they've already, like I said, they've already moved the start day of the sports. I haven't seen the band practicing, so I'm not sure that they're even going to do the band. I was wondering how they were going to do that. There have been some studies that looked at it, and it wasn't very favorable as far as how controlled the virus was and going through tubas and whatever. And there was the ability to have some control if they covered them, so that they would have that option. But frankly, usually the band's practicing in the parking lot, and even if you can't see them, you can hear them. And I haven't seen or heard them, and they would have started by now. They generally start kind of the same time as the
The
football team starts.
Well, what happens a week from Monday, Henry? What happens a week from Monday on the 17th? The Democrat National Virtual Convention begins. That's the first of two.
Nobody's going to Milwaukee. The Democrats, I know, will be all virtual. Exactly what the Republicans are doing, I don't know. They keep bouncing around. They're not going to be doing anything in Jacksonville, but I don't know what they're doing in Charlotte. Trump just announced he's not going to be there. And I suspect that the reason he isn't going to be there is because it's not going to be well attended. You've got a lot of these, senators that are in their 70s or in their 80s. They figure it's not in their interest to run down to Charlotte with 10 or 50,000 people. I don't know how many people it is, but have a lot of people from all over the country showing up there and cheering, and some will wear masks, some won't wear masks. They'll have after party kind of events, and all of those will have opportunities to get infected. And so my guess is Trump knew that if they plan on doing that, he could go there and there'd be all these empty seats, or there'd be all these people wearing masks, and it just wouldn't give the right presentation that he's really looking for. I don't think anything's going to happen with the Democrats, and I'm not sure there's anything happening with the Republicans. It'll just be, people on screen, but not rubbing shoulders with each other. So,
got it.
We'll see. It's coming up. Yeah. But the schools are going to be the big disaster. And that's starting slowly, and it's just going to build all up. And that's where you're going to see a lot of activity. Okay.
Trump's only hope. Passes executive order banning evictions of 35 million Americans. He may do it because he's got votes.
No,
we'll see.
They'll do that. It's an election year. They'll get the money. The unemployment will be extended. The evictions will be halted. That's not going to change. It's a matter. The only question is whether it's going to happen this week, probably not anymore. But beginning of next week or end of next week, type of a thing.
Indeed.
And they'll try to do it retroactively to get rid of any gaps. Because it'll be a disaster if they don't. I mean, they're not going to do that 3 months before the election.
The country would fall apart. That's too many people. All right.
And then
I'll
get voted out of office. Okay.
That's right.
Talk to you tomorrow.
See you. Thanks.
Take care.